From the book of Philippians, the chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. Hear now the word of our Lord. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Jesus Christ at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it out to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace for me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of my brothers in the Lord have become encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Jesus Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened for me will turn out for my deliverance. And this is the word of our Lord. We heard the Roland read the Old Testament lesson of David crying out to the Lord, giving the Lord praise for delivering him from his enemies, but also from delivering him from the consequence of his own sin. Giving praise to God, giving thanks to God for his power and his might and his willingness to care for David, even though David has sometimes let him down, and come back to the Lord in repentance. And then we turn to hear the words of Paul writing to the people of Philippi. The people of Philippi were, as all believers were, important to Paul, but particularly so because they were the very first church that was established by Paul in Macedonia. So So when Paul journeyed to Macedonia, the first people that he preached to, the first people that received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, were the people of Philippi. And the people of Philippi lived in an area surrounded by pagans, surrounded by sorcerers, surrounded by people who believed in the occult, people who worshipped idols. There were temples all around them to idols. And so Paul is saying, every time I pray, I give thanks for you. And so Paul is held in chains. And he's writing to the people of Philippi. There's some dispute about where this was written, but many people believe that Paul was in chains in this, even in Rome at the time. Paul was frequently put in chains for his testimony about Jesus Christ, for his calling out people in sin, for calling out people, the heads of the government and the heads of the Jewish temple, calling them out as sinners. And their reaction was almost always to beat Paul, to stone Paul, to put him in prison, to throw him out of the city. And this went on for Paul for 40 years of his ministry. Let's look at the words that Paul said that pleased him about what the people of Philippi were doing. What Paul said was, I couldn't find it because I was on the wrong page. Okay. What Paul said was, it is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. All of you share in grace with me, and God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ. Paul is saying that he is confident that the good work that they will do will bring about completion in Jesus Christ. Because he said that God always completes his work. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Elsewhere in Scripture it says, God says that my word never returns void. When God's word goes out, it never fails to do what God has set his word to do. That God always completes his work. The problem is that God doesn't complete his work in the time frame that we want him to. I mean, isn't that the problem? I mean, doesn't God go too slow for you? Or maybe sometimes God goes too fast for me. That, God, I was going to do that. If you'd have given me time. You didn't have to do this, God. I was going to do it. The battle song, battle hymn of the Republic, and we sing about it, we're saying, God, just give us one more day, one more hour, you know. Jesus, hold off coming, because we think we can win another soul. Gary was telling me before the service today that he was taking a Bible to a friend of his, a neighbor that he's met, because he's been talking to him about Jesus Christ, and he's agreed to do a Bible study. I would like to have each and every one of you commit to praying for this ministry this week. that God will do his work, that God will draw him in to know him. You know, I would ask that you would set your prayers aside for the Bible school this week. If you can't be here for Bible school, what time does it start?
6:30.
If you can't be here at 6:30 this week, and I understand that everybody can't be here, if you can't be here, I would ask that you would set time aside at 6:30 all week and through Friday. At 6:30 in the evening, set your calendar to remind you to pray for the Bible school, to pray for the ministry. God does answer prayers. God is not this surreal thing and everything out in the universe. God is right here with you. God is in you. God is in the Holy Spirit and knows you personally and knows you by name. And what we need to ask is for God to enter the lives of these children and of old men who are receiving the word for the first time, who are receiving the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we need to trust God to do that. We need to trust God to work in the lives of people, to make a difference. And we need to trust God in our own lives. God wants us to have faith in him. And it's okay if we pray, God, give me faith. God, as the scripture says, help me in my unbelief. That's okay with God. But God wants you to call to him. God wants you to trust him, to seek him, not in theory, but face to face, person to person. This is the relationship that God wants to have with you. This is the relationship that Paul is talking about. What does Paul say that he wants them to do? What does he want us to do? And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with righteousness that comes through Christ to the glory and praise of God. That your love may abound more and more. Tell me, is your love abounding more and more in your life? If not, we need to go to God in prayer about that. We need to go to God and ask him to give us love that is increasing for our brothers and sisters, increasing for our families, increasing for that irritating person that we have to deal with and we just can't seem to not have to deal with. That our love may abound more and more. And he says, in knowledge and depth of insight. Where do we get that insight? Where do we get that insight? We get that insight from the Word of God. We can't sit and think and ponder about something and expect to have the answers. We can't read self-help books and expect to have the answers. We can't just talk to somebody about things and expect to have the answers. We need to find the answers in the Word of God. We need to find the answers through the help of our Christian brothers and sisters. We need to be willing to humble ourselves to seek out their advice. We need to find people to help, who believe in Jesus Christ, to mentor us, to guide us, to help and give us reassurance and to support us in our faith. And we need to trust God. We need to always trust God. We need to have the courage to speak out and speak up. We need to have the courage to share the Word of God. When we're ministering to the children and telling them what the Bible says about love, what the Bible says about God, what the Bible says about them and their relationship with God this week, we need to take time when they ask a question to pause a second in prayer to God and answer the question the way that God wants us to answer it. When someone in your neighbor or at the store or at work or at school or wherever you run into them ask you a question, take that 1 second pause. You don't have to close your eyes, but take that 1 second pause in prayer to God and ask God to give you the words. Because what you say to them and how you say it to them matters. And it matters to God. God built us as people in communities for a reason. He built us in communities so that we would share the knowledge and the love and the blessings of God with one another. And if we go through life, you know, coming to church on Sunday and praying on Sunday, or maybe even reading scripture every day or every night, and we can't talk to our people that we meet about the saving grace of Jesus Christ, then we're not living as God has wanted us to do. We're not abounding in love. We're not abounding in faith. Paul was in chains and in prison, but he wrote many, many letters to the churches that he had ministered to reinforce them, because they know. We use email. Many of us use email every day to send funny stories, to send jokes, to send outrageous things that the government's doing, to send outrageous things that the church is doing. Do you use your email to send the wonderful news of Jesus Christ? Do you take time to send an email to somebody or a text to somebody or any of the other social media to somebody to remind them that they are children of Jesus Christ and that Jesus Christ loves them and that you'd be happy to talk to them about that? We need to abound in love for one another. We need to abound in faith for one another. We need to live in community with one another, in the community that Jesus Christ taught us about, in the community that God created for us, that God ordered things so that we could do His will, so that we could be His people. We need to abound in love for Jesus Christ. We need to abound in love for one another. Amen.